Father, we thank you for this evening, for this time that we have to share together. Lord, in your goodness and your grace. Lord, I pray for your strength and my weakness, Lord, at this time. Lord, that you would use me to speak your truth. Lord, that you would open wide all our hearts. Lord, to receive your goodness and your grace towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. So do have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And starting with this first verse, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Have you ever received a gift in vain? Now you've received something, you've been given something, maybe a gift, and you've been given it for a purpose, but in receiving it, that purpose hasn't been realized. There's a mismatch, a disconnect between the purpose and the outcome. Now, there's the old story of the iPad. You know, the granddad uses it as a chopping board. Now, if you're giving someone an iPad as a gift, the purpose for that gift is what? Yeah, communication. The outcome here was it's being used as a chopping board. So there's a disconnect, there's a mismatch. For those who are regular at Christ Church, setting up a tent in a service. Peter, what was the purpose of that event? An illustration to demonstrate
competence
and confidence. Yeah. And the outcome was hilarity, lack of confidence and competence. It didn't get set up in the service. They did manage afterwards. So again, a disconnect between the purpose an outcome. For Christmas, one of the things that Seth got was a big boy bed. And he was fine in it for the first few weeks. Actually, when we came back from Switzerland, I think it's knocked him off a bit. So he's chosen to sleep on the floor underneath his bed. So the purpose was it was a place for Seth to sleep, a bed. The outcome is that actually it's just a storage place for cuddly toys. So again, there's this disconnect between purpose and outcome. So what's the purpose of God's gift, God's grace towards us? And we're told here in just the previous verse, if you look back in chapter 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God's purpose is our change, our transformation. We come as we are, but we're not to remain that way. Now, there were those in Corinth. There was a group of people in Corinth who, the way they were living was no different to when they first received the gospel. They rejected Paul's previous instructions. In fact, they'd even rejected Paul in favor of more eloquent speakers. And they were involved in the temple worship, the idol worship of the day. They were getting involved in the sexual, immoral practices of the day. And they were evaluating Paul and his ministry on the basis of, you know, sort of contemporary standards of entertainment. At this point in time here, the purpose of God's gift is not being realized in their life. And God calls them through Paul to be reconciled to God, or be reconciled by God, to open wide their hearts to Paul and his companions, to stop living like unbelievers, and instead to be transformed, to live as the people that they claim to be. And that's because Christianity, the message of the gospel, it isn't about getting a second chance. It's not about getting your slate wiped clean. Because the problem with just a second chance is when you get a second chance, it gives you a second opportunity to mess things up again. Now you might say, Paul, that sounds very pessimistic. That's a testimony of Scripture. Read through the Old Testament. Read through the book of Judges. God gives his people second chance after second chance after second chance. And they mess it up again and again and again. And there's this continual cycle. God extends his forgiveness. He gives them a second chance. And they rebel. They turn against him. And he extends his forgiveness. and they rebel, and he extends his forgiveness, and they rebel. And this cycle goes on and on and on. And the longing of the Old Testament is not for a second chance, but for a break in the cycle, for this cycle to be broken. And for me, at the age of 15, when I cried out to Jesus to rescue me, I wasn't looking for a second chance. I'd had 7 months of second chances, and they weren't making a difference in my life. I needed to be changed. I needed to be transformed. Now, don't get me wrong in this. I'm not saying that forgiveness isn't part of the gospel message. It is. It's an important, integral part of the gospel message. But it's to say that that's not just the main focus. God does give us a fresh start, a new beginning, but he gives us more than that because he knows that we need much more than that. And the title that I was given for this talk was An Example of True Love. Let me suggest to you that true love doesn't just simply give you a second chance to fail again. True love is this, that God reaches down to us in our weakness at the greatest cost to himself, that he may lift us up and bring us back to him. Because second chances aren't enough. We could think, you know, given enough second chances, given enough time, and things might change. That in many ways, that's the philosophy of this world. Given enough time and chance, things will come into being, things will change. It doesn't work. In rejecting God, the author of life, we've embraced death. Dead people cannot bring themselves back to life. We need the grace of God. And that's why God didn't stand far off. He didn't stand there with his arms crossed saying, I'm giving you a second chance. But he entered into our world of suffering. Jesus Christ, the one who became sin for us, bearing in his own body, absorbing within himself the poison, the pollution of humanity, that which had separated us from God, our rebellion, that through his death, judgment was executed on that, and raised again to new life, ascended to heaven, and pouring out the long-awaited gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the longing of the Old Testament. For God's presence amongst his people to change, to transform them, that we may no longer live in the way that we used to. But now, having become known by God, knowing God, we may live in the way that he intended all along. And all of this is God's gift towards us, his grace. It's not that we've deserved it. It's not that we can earn it. It's not that we can achieve it. It's a gift, a grace that's to be received. And yet we're not to receive it in vain. This isn't merely a new opportunity. It's a new life. It's not just a second chance. It's a second birth. And this evening, we remember that in baptism. And we remember the symbolism of baptism. And as we put the people down in the water, yes, it speaks of that washing, of the cleansing. Those who have placed faith in Christ are cleansed and washed clean and experience that forgiveness that comes from God. But also, as Peter said earlier, speaking of that death to the old way of life. And a new beginning. A new way of life that is governed by God's grace, by his Spirit. Just earlier in chapter 5, verse 17, we read, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So therefore, my encouragement this evening, my exhortation to those of you who are getting baptized, to those of us who are watching, remembering the grace of God in our own lives, is this. Live as you are in Christ. Be as you are in Christ. Forgiveness isn't a means, an excuse for us to continue living in the way that we once did, but to be transformed. And yes, at times we may stumble, we may fall. And in those times, seek God. Seek his forgiveness. Seek that new, fresh start. But more than that, seek his transforming work in your life. Because it's for this purpose that we've been called. Now, the forgiveness of sins isn't God's ultimate gift. It's just a means to an end. We read about that in our Jeremiah passage. God's ultimate gift is his life-transforming presence in and amongst his people. That's God's ultimate gift to us. Let's not sell ourselves short on this. And to those of you who are listening to this evening, and maybe you've never received that gift. Maybe you don't know what it means to be forgiven by God. Well, then God calls you this evening to come to respond. To come as you are, but with the view that God is going to change you. And God says, repent and believe the gospel. Cease living that way that you used to. Instead, come to me and what I've done for you, and I will change you, I will transform you. Now, what better evening than to come this evening? Now, I may get in trouble for this, but you know what? Come and be baptized this evening. If God has convicted your heart and you want to respond to that message, come and be baptized this evening. Baptism isn't about reaching a certain level of spirituality. It's publicly confessing that I receive the grace of God. I'm responding to his command to repent and to believe the gospel. So come this evening. My prayer for all of us, whether maybe this is the first time that we've heard of God's grace. Or yet another day where we celebrate God's grace and goodness towards us, is that the purpose of God's grace is realized in all our lives. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace in Jesus Christ. That though we were afar off, that you came to us. That you reached down to us. Lord, and you pulled us up. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us. That you loved us too much to leave us where we were. That you have paid the full price, that you have made it all possible. That we can live lives that are free. Live lives, Lord, knowing you. To be restored back to as things were meant to be. Lord, continue that work of grace in our lives. That each day we may know you more. That we may walk more closely with you. That our lives may not be conformed to the way of this world, but they may be transformed in accordance with your goodness and your grace in Jesus Christ. Amen.